Welcome to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
Thousands of kids and parents enjoy the outdoors today because we took the time to teach them yesterday. We are the DSC, and we are at biggame.org.
Hey, welcome to the camp house. I'm Billy Kender, and this is Big Billy Kender Outdoors. Brought to you in part by Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. Calming Care, very gently and naturally over time, calms the overactive dog, the overbarker, the jumper. It's called Calming Care, a remarkable product, and your vet can tell you more about it. Hey, we're going to take a real special journey on the show today. We're going to look back over the life of T. Boone Pickens. Boone Pickens passed away last week, 91 years old. And I don't know this for a fact, but I'd be willing to bet that no one on planet Earth has ever contributed more of their personal resources towards the research, preservation, and conservation of our quails as Boone Pickens. I've had several opportunities over the past years to sit down with Boone and visit. Not about business, he certainly wouldn't come to me to pick my brain about that, but about bird dogs and bobwhite quail, the habitat that they must have, the fight against eyeworms, drought, predation, the future of our quails, future generations of bird dog men and women and quail hunters. You'll hear Boone's great mind at work and experience his unique sense of humor today, too. Ever eat a woodpecker? Boone did. Stick around for that and much more. Let's start the show in a beautiful place, eastern Oklahoma, in the Ozarks, Lake Ten Killer. That's where the Bassmaster Elites are this weekend. They kicked it off on Thursday. They'll finish it up tomorrow. $100,000 in one of those big blue trophies to the winner. This is a makeup for the flooded Fort Gibson Lake event that was supposed to take place in Oklahoma back in May. If you're in that neck of the woods and you want to catch a takeoff tomorrow morning, it's at Chicken Creek Ramp in Cookson, Oklahoma, 7 a.m. Weigh-ins this afternoon and again tomorrow, Cherokee Casino, Tahlequah, Oklahoma, 4 p.m. Largemouth, smallmouth, and spotted bass in Ten Killer. These guys may have to change their approach midstream. It's going to be fun to watch the outcome. By the way, Bass has announced their 2020 schedule, a 9-tournament slate, 6 states, and some of the most storied fisheries in bass fishing history. They'll kick it off in Florida, St. John's River, and how can they not after what happened down there this past February? Remember Rick Klun with 34 pounds, 14 ounces on Sunday? 2 of those bass over 9 pounds, and a come-from-behind win for Rick with 98 pounds, 14 ounces. The Bassmaster Classic will be historic in 2020. Lake Gunnersville, Birmingham, Alabama, March 6th through 8th. From there, in April, it's Lake Eufaula, Alabama. Santee Cooper in Manning, South Carolina. The Sabine River, Orange, Texas, at the end of May. Don't know the lake yet, but Toyota, Texas Fest after that. Then it's up north for the Northern Swing, the St. Lawrence River, Waddington, New York, in July. Lake Champlain after that. And Lake St. Clair in Michigan to wrap it up next August. Congratulations to John Hoyer. He won that National Walleye Trail Championship at Devil's Lake, North Dakota last weekend. Get this, in his last 3 NWT events, Hoyer has finished first, second, and first again. His latest first at Devil's Lake during the premier event in all of walleye fishing, the championship. The Arano, Minnesota native takes home a Ranger 621 FS with a 300-horse Merc on the back, $15,000 cash, another $2,225 in Angler's Advantage cash, total purse $97,320. Not a bad weekend of work, John Hoyer. Congratulations. The Fishing Wire had the whole story this week. If you're not getting the Fishing Wire in your inbox every day, you really ought to be if you love fishing, the fishing world, and what's going on. They'll keep you up to date day by day. Hey, how about old Lindy Rolls III in Virginia? He went bow fishing the other day and came home with a 52-pound, 8-ounce blue cat. New state record in Virginia. with his boat and the fish fries at Lindy's house. Hey, veterans, you fish free today at Roaring River State Park just outside of Cassville, Missouri. Pick up your trout tags at the park office and enjoy your day. And they'll have a big time today with more than 90 hands-on activities showcasing outdoor education, sports, and recreation at the Missouri River Outdoor Expo, Ponca State Park, Nebraska. That's today and tomorrow. Wildlife exhibits, exhibition shooting, canine sports, a lumberjack show, live music, and a whole lot more, and every bit of it free. Ponca State Park, Nebraska, today and tomorrow. Another little tidbit from the Fishing Wire, if you'd like to win that Phoenix 819 Pro bass boat, along with the Lowrance HDS and 200-horse Merc, power poles and all, you can do that by registering at TrophyCatch.com, Florida's Trophy Catch program. You need to do it by September 30th to be eligible to win the boat. The final drawing will be held at Bobby Lane's big tournament. That's usually at Camp Mack down there on Kissimmee. It'll be on December 7th. Calming Care very gently calms the overbarker, the nuisance dog. Calming Care. Order it from Chewy.com. From the trusted name Purina.
Hey, everybody, it's Sean Mann. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Take him, Billy.
This is Jim Shockey.
I'm Craig Boddington.
This is Jim Zumbo.
Join me, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weissen, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. I look forward to shaking your hand there this January.
With a who's who lineup on stage to answer your questions, surrounded by more than 1,800 exhibits featuring outdoor apparel and gear, artwork, jewelers, custom guns and knives, the finest licensed guides and DSC-approved outfitters from around the globe, free seminars, and world-class banquets with celebrity guests and speakers, DSC's Convention and Expo, January 9th through the 12th, is a must-see for outdoors men and women. The whole family will love the incredible taxidermy displays, and the auctions are the biggest and best, built specifically for the outdoors enthusiast. The best part, your ticket cost, the auction bid, the money spent at DSC's Convention and Expo will be spent wisely on conservation matters at home and around the globe. Please come to DSC's Convention and Expo at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, January 9th through the 12th. Learn more at biggame.org.
This is Travis Mears with Defender Outdoors, Clay Sports Ranch, Forest's new premier shotgun range. Located on West Loop 820, we are minutes from anywhere in the west of Plex. Clay Sports Ranch offers two different 12-station sporting clay courses, archery, the largest 5-stand in DFW, and a spacious event pavilion with seating for over 200. Inside the pro shop, we offer a wide variety of hunting and competitive shotguns for sale and rent, along with all the gear and shells that you may need for your next outing. Open to the public or with a membership, a good time with friends, family, or colleagues is easy to find. Find all the details at DefenderOutdoors.com, and we look forward to seeing you at the ranch.
At Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas, we embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are affiliated with no denomination but champion God's word only. We have a very active children's ministry, and we are a safe and secure place to hear God's word and learn about his great love for us, even though we are all great sinners. I'm John Watson, and I want to invite you and your family to church on Litzy Road in Roanoke, Texas, and on the web at csbiblechurch.org.
If you visit an outdoor show that features hunting, fishing, and outdoor products, you might just run into my friends Ron and Teresa Miskin with Buffalo Wool Company. When you do, do yourself a huge favor and stop for a visit. When I did, I made a discovery that has greatly impacted my time in the field and on the boat. Ron explained to me that his buffalo wool gloves, socks, hats, and accessories are made from the underhair. Beneath the big shaggy guard hair lies a secondary coat. These fibers are what the buffalo depends on to keep him warm. Those fibers make up the socks and gloves at Buffalo Wool Company. Hey, it's been several years, and I truthfully don't know how many pairs of buffalo wool gloves, socks, and hats that I own. I simply know that they are as important to me as my rifle. They're warmer than wool and allow me to stay in the field comfortably, no matter the weather conditions, all day long. Try them for yourself. Buffalo Wool Company offers a 100% money-back guarantee, but you'll keep them. Learn more about these super high-quality products at thebuffalowoolco.com. Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Casseria, Cordoba Doves will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Casseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Casseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Casseria. Can see me in Argentina.
Big Billy Kinder Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club. Now that's good camp house company.
Make plans now to join us at the DSC Convention and Expo, Heritage, January 9 through 12. Heritage, one of the biggest conservation gatherings on earth. Biggame.org.
I have invited a friend of mine named Michael Higgins to join me on the show next week. I hope you'll tune in to hear what he's got going on with the Higgins Brancini Shooting Foundation. These guys started supporting youth shooters across the U.S. years ago, and it has just grown and grown and grown through much diligence and hard work. They're a nonprofit organization that provides support to college students competing in collegiate, national, and international clay target shooting sports. Founded in 2012, HBSF has sponsored athletes that have won 13 national collegiate championships in skeet, international skeet, trap, sporting clays, and high overall titles. Several have gone on to become world champions, as well as members of the U.S. Olympic team. And over the past 8 years, HBSF has distributed over $150,000 in grants to 130 collegiate shooters across the U.S. Pretty cool. They've got a big fundraiser coming up. They do this every year. It is a quail hunt, and it's going to be at a really special place. I love this place, Greystone Castle out in West Texas, Mingus, Texas, November 15th through the 18th. Guides, dogs, hunt trucks, quail, pheasant, chucker, sporting clays, five stand. It's going to be a fun 3 days, and it's all for a great cause. That's next week. If you want to know more about the hunt, we've got it up on the website, bbkoradio.com, and I would urge you to tune in next week and learn more about the Higgins Brancini Shooting Foundation when Michael Higgins joins me. It has been my distinct honor through the years to visit personally with the great T. Boone Pickens about his bird dogs, conservation, and quail. With his passing last week, I thought it appropriate to share those conversations with you today. I know you'll enjoy Boone Pickens.
Boone Pickens had some fine bird dogs through the years, and some dogs that mean a lot to you, haven't you?
Yeah, we got lucky on we had a female named Tammy, and she was a very stylish dog. She was I remember the stud dog, not for her, but not very far away from her, was Regan's White Knight. Mm-hmm. And she was just a real beautiful dog, and good cubby dog, and easy to manage and everything. And we had another dog in the kennel that had a real pedigree. Gunsmoke was big in his line, and his name was Duke, but he wasn't the best bird dog in the kennel. He's okay.
Yeah.
But she had the desire to hunt more than he did. And we just said, let's go with his bloodline and hope Gunsmoke shows up better than it did in him. Yeah. They had a litter. And I've never had a litter of pups in my life where all the dogs graded from good to excellent.
That's very rare.
Yeah, it is. And I'm telling you, I had litters before where it was poor to good.
Right.
And the top end of eight, I'd get two.
Right.
And others just weren't hunting dogs.
Yeah.
And so, but this one, I couldn't believe it. I told Bob Morris, I said, Bob, every one of these dogs are good. And they were. And we turned out, I believe it was five litters.
Hmm.
We just worked those, that pair to death almost, because they were so good. And it was always the same results.
Yeah.
They were a match, made in heaven.
Right.
And, so
they
lined up, and they kept lining up. I don't think out of five litters, I think we ever had a dog that didn't make it.
And it was.
Now somebody say he's lying, I don't think I'm lying, but I may not remember at my age. I remember every one of them made it.
Who is the bird dog that you have immortalized in bronze outside of your kennel?
Yeah, Princess.
Okay.
Yeah, Princess. But I never had any pups out of her.
Oh.
I was in Europe, and she got sick and damn near died. Mm. This in 1964. And I had a secretary that made all the decisions on that deal, and she said, I've never been so nervous in my life.
Mm.
She said, and this is not when you could get in touch with people real easy.
Yeah.
And she had a... infection, and they went in and they said that they're going to have to do a hysterectomy on her, and they weren't even sure they could save her. And so I was gone a month, and I wasn't over on vacation either. I was over at working. But I'd call back, and they hated to tell me everything that was going on because there's not any decisions to make. They didn't think that they couldn't make. And I was on a project that we had to make is very big for the company. And so they said, well, don't bother him. We'll just make the decisions and get Prince as well. And they did, but she never had any pups.
That's a shame that you never got any pups out of her, but it tells me the world about that bird dog if you've got her set aside from all the other great dogs out in front of your kennel. It's pretty spectacular.
I killed over that dog, I think, 5,000 birds.
Wow. It becomes a point, and if you've never quail hunted, you just don't understand it. But that camaraderie between a man and a dog, when you're working like a hand in a glove together, and those special ones, that comes out only in those real special ones. Boy, that's a great feeling.
I was used to hunt at R.H. Fulton's Ranch, which is south of Channing, Texas, and over in Hartley County. And it's blue quail country. But this dog would adjust anything. I hunted her on chickens. I hunted her on Hungarian partridge. Only thing she wouldn't do when I was living up in Canada in 68, I knocked a mallard down in the Saskatchewan River, and she swam out to it, turned around and came back. She was,
that shows how smart she was. I don't like to eat ducks either.
She wouldn't retrieve that duck. And so I tried to talk her into doing it. She wouldn't do it. But I've hunted pheasants, everything over. But she had something she'd do early in the season. I'd cripple a blue, and it would always happen over there at Fulton's Ranch. And she would run it down. You know, bird been winged, had plenty of legs left. And she'd run a bird down and bring it back. And she wasn't a retriever, but I talked her into doing it. Just, you're talking about man and dog working together. She got the picture that I wanted her to bring the birds back. And she did. She became a very, very good retriever. And she wouldn't hunt dead till she was 4 or 5 years old. Then I talked her into doing that. So we were looking for cripples together is kind of the way it worked. I'd get in there, and I was moving stuff around, trying to get crippled, and she was too. And so anyway, she'd take one of those blues that had broken wing and had run. She caught it. She'd bring it back to about, 20 yards away from me, look at me, and put it down out of her mouth.
Yeah.
And put her foot on it. And I said, what are you doing, Princess? Bring the bird to me. I said, all right, I'll come and get it. So I'd start for it, and she'd release it and let it run. And then she'd grab it again and turn around and put her foot on it. And now we're in a game.
Right.
And She did that early in the season, three or four times, and then she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it three or four times in a season. It was three or four years she did it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe five or six times. Yeah. But I try to get her to do it when somebody's there. Never did it. She'd only do it when it was for me.
You think these dogs aren't smart? They can read us like a book as well.
That's right. But what fun I've had.
Much more from the late Boone Pickens throughout the show today. This corner of the Camp House brought to you by Fortiflora, America's number one canine probiotic. It settles GI upset. Fortiflora. Order it from Chewy.com.
I'm Tim Dancliffe with Safari Classics and Chafuti Safaris. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the metal can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with six full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too.
The Vineyards Campground and Cabins has time and again been recognized nationally as a safe, clean, fun, and, well, perfect family destination. With all new full hookup 50-amp pedestals, pull-through sites, lightning-fast Wi-Fi and cable TV at every site, the Vineyards Campground in Grapevine, Texas will become a regular travel stop for you. Bring the whole family and enjoy our beautiful group pavilion, private swim beach and boat ramp, stand-up paddle boards, well-stocked camp store, and the friendliest staff that you'll find as you travel in your RV or bus. We're located on the shore of beautiful Grapevine Lake, and you'd never guess that we're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth. Just outside the gated entry at the Vineyards, enjoy the charm of Main Street with exclusive shopping and delicious dining. Don't have an RV? No worries. Come stay at the Vineyards' fully furnished cabins. We can't wait to see you, so make your reservation now at vineyardscampground.com. See you soon.
Some things just can't be improved upon. Take a traditional South Dakota pheasant hunt, for example. A brisk morning with only time, a trusted dog, and a field full of wild pheasants ahead of you. As step by step you trace the finest hunting heritage known to man, the history is thick in the fresh, clean air as you raise your gun and claim your part of this legendary South Dakota paradise. Now, throw in good friends and family in the lakeside cabins with a sprawling front porch, private bed and bathrooms, high-def TV in each room to catch the game, the award-winning restaurant and bar just steps away from your cabin, and a string of dogs to help you hunt the 35,000 acres that Spring Creek Resort South Dakota has acquired with you in mind. Maybe some things can be improved upon. Come see what we have for you at Spring Creek Resort, just north of Pierre, South Dakota. SpringCreekSD.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. Yeah, and I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin, and every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
Come in off the porch. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is back. Partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Thousands of kids and parents enjoy the outdoors today because we took the time to teach them yesterday. We are the DSC and we are at biggame.org.
Hey, that's my friend Corey Mason, Executive Director of the Dallas Safari Club. He's also in the camp house with us today because you've just returned from, gosh, the majority of the summer abroad at some very important meetings to wildlife and conservation, most recently in Geneva, Switzerland, at a get-together that only happens every 3 years called CITES. Did I pronounce it properly, and what is that?
You did. So CITES is the acronym, refer to the Convention on International Trade of Endangered Species. So CITES is a national or international treaty associated with the UN dating back to the mid-1970s, and it is a collection of 183 countries that are parties to this treaty, as well as intergovernmental organizations and NGOs such as Dallas Safari Club that attend this to discuss the trade and associated status of flora and fauna internationally.
Okay. Very important meetings because these are the get-togethers every 3 years that determine our endangered species list, to put it in layman's terms.
That's exactly right, you know, and really to assess the threats on these species that come from wildlife trade. And again, it's this very diverse consortium of things from plant species from all over the world that can be represented from stakeholders in the room associated with like violin associations to aquatic species to terrestrial species and some of those really megafauna species that are iconic, like, say, elephant and giraffe and rhino, et cetera.
How does Dallas Safari Club, based in Dallas, but with a worldwide membership and worldwide conservation interests, how does Dallas Safari Club get an invite to be in the room or to participate in these meetings in the first place?
Yeah, you bet. I think it really speaks to the scope of influence and the growth of this organization and the recognition from the world and our conservation partners, the desire to hear DSC's voice and opinion and the desire to be in that room. And so for DSC to participate in CITES, we had to be certified as an international observer, and that came through essentially an initial approval process from the Fish and Wildlife Service. It was then provided to the CITES Secretariat, the body of staff there at CITES, and then approval credentials through CITES. It's a very tightly monitored process there. And so now DSC, this was our first convention proper to attend, and we'll be attending from here on out again. There are standing committee meetings, working group meetings that occur throughout the next 3 years, but then the next conference of the parties, the big convention, if you will be in 2022.
And anywhere that people are going to talk about possibly placing critters on an endangered species list, there are going to be, I would think, a very vocal contingent from the anti-hunting group, they're anti-conservation, period. Yeah. Did you see some of that?
We did. We saw it, and we saw it very very blatantly and very organized, if you will. We saw what I would even refer to as the anti-sustainable use group, which does include hunting. But I say anti-sustainable use because within those groups, many of those NGOs even oppose the sustainable use of wildlife resources, like, say, for example, the sustainable cropping, particularly maybe if it's rhino horn, the legalized trade in these within these countries. To sustainably use and control and manage black rhino species or white rhino species. We saw a very organized manner in which these groups provided messages and interventions, which is just another word there for providing a comment, if you will, regarding a proposal. And then we saw them very systematically working in association in conjunction with some of these Western African countries when it comes to the African species specifically, where these Western African countries, if you will, that have done quite a poor job, to be very frank, in managing some of these really charismatic species, imposing restrictions on the Southern African countries that have done an exemplary job in managing these species. For example, elephant. In the Southern African countries, many of them have 200% more elephants than they can healthfully manage, and they're looking for ways to be able to manage these species. In these other countries that really do not have elephants in any capacity, imposing restrictions on them, and so they're saying, how can I continue to manage these elephants? You have to help me. The same was said for the rhinos, and giraffe was a whole other story.
And these are people that, these antis are people that just absolutely don't believe that hunting of certain animals is management. Certainly the endangered list needs to be there. That's an essential tool that needs to be for certain critters. They're in a rush to put everything on that list.
That's right. And I think even more fundamentally, there is the lack of an understanding of the sovereignty of African countries. Number one, there is what I often refer to as a Western arrogance. And by that, I mean the desire and willingness for some of these Western NGOs, and that being either the European Union or the United States, to feel like they have an understanding and somehow oversight of the way that, say, the Republic of South Africa or Tanzania or Mozambique, et cetera, should and can manage their wildlife resources, all the while conveniently forgetting that these are sovereign countries. They are in control of their wildlife resources, so these NGOs try to usurp their sovereignty and basically impose these restrictions on them that make the ability to manage their own wildlife resources nearly impossible. And so that fundamentally is a problem. But then secondarily, you know, the failure to acknowledge that these countries manage their species well. They have wildlife biologists that are trained staff. They have PhDs on staff that understand and know how to manage their species. And they will self-initiate the need to list a species or move towards those kind of up or down listings appropriately to manage their species. And this Western influence assumes that they don't have the ability or knowledge to do that, and they try to impose these restrictions, and it's in a very disrespectful way.
Yeah. You also learned, and we used the term eyebrow raising or big awakening as you sat in the room at the CITES meetings in Geneva, Switzerland, just how much power and influence these anti-groups have at these big international meetings.
We did. You know, we saw a highly organized front there, and we saw interventions, if you will, again, comments that were written that would be made by certain anti-hunting and anti-sustainable use NGOs, and those same statistics reported by other countries like Kenya and Niger. And so clearly there was message sharing. There was probably scripting that occurred as well associated with that. It was very blatant. It was easy to see.
What gives us the right as DSC to be in that room and to make our presence felt and to state our point of view? Is it because of our belief that scientists and biologists are pretty smart and know what they're doing when it comes to our critters?
That's exactly right. It is all based on the very specific principle of that science should be the guiding principle and factor associated with wildlife management.
Yeah.
Politics should be a distant second behind that.
Yeah, and emotion should have nothing to do with that.
That's exactly right. Wildlife management should be done by those that are trained to do so, number one, and they should base that based on sound science.
Yeah. Were there other partners in the room from around the globe that partner with DSC, like-minded folks that agree that science and hunting is conservation?
There were, and we were fortunate to be able to spend time with them, and these are partnerships and folks that we work with year-round, and those are organizations based in Europe such as CIC and FACE and some other organizations. The International Professional Hunter Association were there as well, and again, these are organizations that believe that the tenet in managing wildlife is sound science, and what people fail to recognize and acknowledge, I would say even further, is the fact that there is no user base, if you will, that would more quickly and adamantly self-regulate if there were something that were imposed based on, and we've seen this in the U.S., we've seen it around the world, you see it every year, in which, say, for example, we look at waterfowl regulations. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says pintail numbers are down. We're, you know, decreasing bag limits from 2 to 1, and guess what? The people that conform with that day in and day out are legal sport hunters. They understand and they comply with those regulations, and that same model is evident around the world.
I'm so glad, and I say this as a DSC member, I'm so glad that we have guys like you and Richard Cheatham in place that belong in these big international meetings, national meetings, state meetings, to help in guiding these decisions and decision makers. I'm really proud that we have you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. It really is a privilege to be able to represent our community of hunter conservationists and just wildlife conservation in general, and stand firm in what we believe. Again, that science is a principle to guide wildlife management, and we don't waver from that fact. We stand firm in that. We do so respectfully, but we're willing to very quickly challenge anyone that steps outside that box.
And I'm so glad that you do. It's serious business. Corey, thank you so much. Executive Director of the Dallas Safari Club, Corey Mason. Not a bad crappie fisherman either. Hey, more from Boone Pickens when I come back from the coffee pot.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Babe Winkleman. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it. With Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
When it's time to consider a taxidermist, look carefully at the choices. The skill level of the artist that you choose will be a visible reminder of your decision from now on. Let me recommend my taxidermist, Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Roy does work for people from across North America and beyond. They insist on True Life Taxidermy in Granbury because of the incredible ability that Roy and his team have in bringing your memory to life. Realistic detail. Painstaking precision on your birds, fish, and wild game. With a 10,000-foot studio filled with award-winning artists and nearly three decades of full-time taxidermy work himself, Roy and True Life Granbury can customize your trophy in a unique and high-quality style. Please view his online portfolio at truelifetaxidermy.org, and I think you'll see why True Life Taxidermy in Granbury has been my taxidermist for the past 25 years. Wild game processing available also. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org.
On your way out west, make a stop at Teske's Outdoors just west of Weatherford on the south side of Interstate 20. I'm Randy Jackson reminding you that you need it, we've got it at Teske's Outdoors with more than 12,000 square feet of blinds, gear, feeders, guns, camo, ammo, and you can get your hunting and fishing license at Teske's Outdoors. It's time for a new gun, and with over 1,000 new and used guns, it's impossible to not find what you need. We have Weatherby, Browning, Winchester, Benelli, Cooper, Christensen Arms, Colt, Kimber, Sig, and many more. You buy a case of shotgun shells, and we'll throw your name in the hat to win a Browning Satori. And don't miss out on the Stoker Condor over and under for only $350 with a $50 mail-in rebate. Sitka Camo and Mojo Decoys, $7.99 deer corn and a free Satori.
You got to stop at Teske's Outdoors, just west of Weatherford, Texas, on the south side of I-20. And on your way to the ranch, call us at 817-599-3400. Hey guys, don't lose that bragfish today. We've all done it. A weak hook set, a late sweep with the rod, giant jumpers that throw that heavy jig back in our faces. The folks at Trapper Tackle have solved the lost fish issue. For the first time in forever, there's meaningful innovation in the fish hook. The Trapper Tackle iCast Best in Show winner 2 years back-to-back has a unique patented design that locks your catch until you have her in your hands. It's this one-of-a-kind locking system that keeps your plastics in place, cast after cast after cast, too. Trapper Tackle makes hooks for all finesse, live bait, and plastics presentations. Treble hooks for your hard baits, too. When you first take a look at Trapper Tackle hooks, you'll probably scratch your head. When you pose up with that behemoth that didn't get away, you'll smile ear to ear. Trapper Tackle and Bill Lewis have partnered a legend with a state-of-the-art hook design to produce the Rattle Trapper. You need some of those, too. Get them at TrapperTackle.com. Lock them in and load the boat. TrapperTackle.com.
After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and We like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife. Quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, these people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit joshuacreek.com.
Glad you're back. We still have some big fish to fry here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Guns, fabulous hunting opportunities, art, outdoor gear, and clothing spread out over the entire Dallas Convention Center. The DSC Convention and Expo is January 9 through 12 in Dallas. Biggame.org.
Hey, if you heard something on the show and you'd like to go back and catch it again, maybe jot down some information, whatever, you can do that, bbkoradio.com. We keep all of our broadcasts listed there. Just go to the date, click, and you're done. bbkoradio.com. I've asked Morgan Denny with the city of Grapevine, Texas, to rejoin me for a minute or two on the show today. It's a beautiful day in Grapevine, Texas. Good time for a family fish fest, I think.
It is. We're excited to be out here at Family Fish Fest today. We'll be out here all day till 2 p.m.
Yeah, there you go. And talking about the Grapevine Family Fish Fest, I'm going to be there spending the day with you teaching flipping and pitching techniques and maybe help you improve your casting a little in tough places and how to more pinpoint that lure placement. And there's more than that going on. There's a ton going on. Tell us about the Grapevine Family Fish Fest, where it is, and who all is going to be there today?
Yeah, we have Bass Pro Shops from Grapevine right here with us. They have some wonderful boats out here, as well as we have a bow fishing range set up. If you want to try that out a little bit, see if that's your new niche, or a fly casting demonstrations, as well as a fully stocked pond for you and your family to cast in and see if you can't catch a big one. And that is all happening today out at Oak Grove Park at Traywick Pavilion and Boat Ramp. We'll have people directing your way up here from Oak Grove Loop, and that's all from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. today.
Yeah, and this is really, if your kids are 3, 4, 5 years old and you want to get them started fishing, this is a great way to introduce them. And for you guys that fish a lot and maybe you've never caught a smallmouth bass in your life, I heard a rumor that some smallmouth have been stocked in the pond there at Oak Grove for this event.
Yes, we have quite a few different types of fish that have been stocked. We've got some smallmouth bass as well as some channel cat and even some bluegill.
Good. So there's something for every angling level of experience in that pond. And I'm looking forward to snagging one of those smallmouth myself. We're going to have a great time today. Give us the hours one more time. Traywick Pavilion, Oak Grove Park, Lake Grapevine, from when till when?
From 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Everybody come out and bring the family. Morgan, I'll see you there.
All right. Sounds good, Billy.
Morgan Denny out at Grapevine Lake, Texas. We're celebrating the life of the late Boone Pickens today. He was a wonderful outdoorsman, bird dog man, quail conservationist all of his days. Pretty doggone good storyteller, too. Boone Pickens' funeral was this past Thursday. We lost him just over a week ago at the age of 91. When I last saw Mr. Pickens back in March at the Park City's Quail Banquet in Dallas, you could tell that he was struggling more than he had in past years, but he was there, by golly, raising money for quail conservation, handing out the award that was named after his conservation efforts. Johnny Morris of Bass Pro Shops, the latest recipient of the Boone Pickens Lifetime Conservationist Award. Past names include the great Ray Sasser that you hear right here as our Camp House storyteller. George Strait a few years ago, Tom Brokaw, legendary dog trainer, Delmer Smith, and others.
Yeah, we went dove hunting. It was the first time I went hunting. And I had a 410, and it was single shot 410, and man, I kill birds. And it's a big deal. And I went home and afterwards and had, you know, a great day and a lot of conversation, and told all the guys in the neighborhood, because they didn't have the same opportunity that I did. Their dads didn't hunt. But I did start to hang out with hunters from across town over in Parkview District. And they were the Jones brothers, and there were five boys in the Jones family. And they all hunted. But some of them were older. I hunted with Gene, was my age. And then he had a little brother named Cott. His name was Cotton. Cotton Jones, and we all were paper boys, and that's where we knew each other. We all had a paper out, and Cott went along, and he carried a paper bag full of cooking stuff. They cooked. They never took prepared food out to hunt, and Cott dragged that paper bag along. He was the youngest of the Jones brothers, but we never took anything to cook. We killed it and cooked it, and you'd be amazed at what we killed, cooked, and ate. I mean, metal arc, sure. Blue jays, yes. That they came in one time when we got very hungry and hadn't been able to find anything. And woodpeckers, yeah, we've had a woodpecker too. But while we're out shooting, Gene and I are out shooting, Cott is fishing. So he's busy trying to get something too, and so we cook fish that size that he caught. We didn't miss any meals, but it was. My mother was going to have a bridge party, and I went in the kitchen and picked up ten what she called finger sandwiches, and wrapped them up in some wax paper. And stuck them in my game bag, and we're out hunting, and I was hesitant to bring these sandwiches out, but we weren't doing any good on what we were finding, and I pulled those sandwiches out, and I thought it would be immediately turned down. They were immediately eaten, is what happened. I mean, those finger sandwiches went down faster. I do believe if we had gotten something, if we killed something, that at that point, well, we would have maybe passed up those finger sandwiches, maybe not. But we'd kill quail. We were hunting with the dog was unbelievable, a terrier, but you know he'd find stuff. You know, we kill a big swamp rabbit every once in a while, and cottontails were not hard to find. I never will forget that Gene and I decided to go. Well, Jimmy Thompson was in on this, and it was three of us, and we went down to Lake Holdenville, which was about 5 miles south of town, and on our bicycles. And we were down there, and these ducks were coming into the fish hatchery, and we were definitely not supposed to be shooting. But we were in there shooting, and it started to sleet a little bit, and these ducks were coming off the lake and over to the hatchery, and so we were knocking them down pretty good. I never will forget old Jimmy Thompson said, "Guy," I said, "you hear that horn honking?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And it was just constant. And I said, "I wonder what happened. Somebody's horn stuck over there on the highway." "Yeah, like my mother, maybe." and went over there, and that's who it was. And these guys got on their bikes, and they rode home. But she made me get on the front of the car and hold my bike and go home. So you can't believe how cold it was. And they, years later, they said, "God, I couldn't believe it when she made you get on and go end of the wind on the front of that car holding that bicycle. So it's a lot easier to walk and push our bikes into Holdenville than it would be on the front of that car.
Fond memories from Boone Pickens on the show today. That's part of a conversation he had with our buddy Pete Delkus. More from Boone when we come back from the coffee pot.
This old camp house has lots of room. Come on in. This is the Dallas Safari Club's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
A helicopter flies over African bush with the DSC logo on it. When poachers are busted, they can clearly see who caught them. We are the DSC. We are at biggame.org.
Hey, welcome back to Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. This corner of the camp house brought to you by Purina Pro Plan, the world's greatest dog fuel. Pro Plan performance formula, guys, for your bird dogs. 30% protein, 20% fat. Pick it up at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. The late T. Boone Pickens loved to tell a story about a mule that could point quail like a bird dog. You're going to hear him tell that story a little later on this hour. Plus, we're heading for the great state of Alabama. They've passed new legislation down there that is going to allow Alabama deer hunters to hunt over feed, deer feeders, etc., this fall. David Rayner. No one knows more about that than David Rayner. So we'll get David on that Big Billy Kinder Outdoors trot line in just a little while and find out what that's all about. Make yourself at home. Glad you're in camp with us at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Bird numbers are in from Oklahoma. They say that it's going to be a whole lot like it was last year. Good opportunities all over the state. But because of drought during the nesting season, some areas like central and far western parts of Oklahoma could be at or below last year's numbers for bobwhite quail. This past Sunday, cottontail rabbits, snowshoe hares, ruffed grouse, fox, and gray squirrel hunting all kicked off in Michigan. Get the Band-Aids and the iodine ready because woodcock season opens today in Michigan. And, man, you woodcock hunters know, you come out of those brambles scratched and scarred, and if you got a bird in your pocket, he was well earned. Hey, this is pretty cool. In Missouri, next Saturday, the Missouri Department of Conservation, in partnership with the National Wild Turkey Federation, Whitetails Unlimited, Quail Forever, and Delta Waterfowl, are inviting families to attend a day of free outdoor skills instruction at the Macon County Fairgrounds. They're in Macon, Missouri. 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. next Saturday, all the activities are free. They include shotgun shooting, pellet rifles, archery, fishing, outdoor cooking, tree stand safety. This is Tree Stand Safety Month, by the way. And a whole bunch of other fun stuff for the kids of all ages. Lunch provided, too. How about that? Next Saturday, Macon, Missouri. Conservation at work in Washington State, and it's tough work, too, when you have to capture those sheep up in the mountains. Capture and translocation operations are now complete for 2019, with 101 mountain goats moved from Olympic National Park and Olympic National Forest to the Northern Cascade Mountains. Since September 2018, a total of 275 mountain goats have been translocated. An additional two-week capture and translocation period is planned for next summer. The National Park Service, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the USDA Forest Service working together to reestablish and assist in connecting depleted populations of mountain goats in the Western Cascades, while also removing non-native goats from the Olympic Mountains. Mountain goats were introduced to the Olympics back in the 1920s. Our sheep are highly susceptible to disease, specifically pneumonia. They don't live in easy-to-reach places. The men and women that work with them and translocate and medicate, preserve and conserve have to go to great lengths to do that. The Nebraska Game and Parks Commission hosting Learn to Hunt workshops throughout the fall that help individuals prepare for upcoming hunting seasons. These workshops are designed to improve confidence and expand knowledge for those with little or no experience, but you have the desire. You want to get outside. You want to learn to hunt. In each of these workshops, presenters will discuss strategies, equipment, biology, and techniques. The next one is coming up on Thursday at the Lincoln Park Fire Station in Hastings, Nebraska. This is a deer hunting seminar. October 1st, a waterfowl workshop at the Nebraska Game and Parks Outdoor Education Center in Lincoln. 1 week later, October 8th, in the same place, upland bird hunting. Another deer hunting workshop in Lincoln at the Nebraska Game and Parks Outdoor Education Center, October 22nd. And the final workshop of the year, December 3rd, predator hunting at the Nebraska Game and Parks Outdoor Education Center, Lincoln. What the heck is this thing? Go to bbkoradio.com and take a look at this fish that came out of Norway. Oscar Lundahl is a fishing guide for Nordic Sea Angling. He was fishing for blue halibut off the coast of the island of Andøya in Norway, more than 2,600 feet deep. Blue halibut is a rare species about 5 miles offshore. Oscar felt something quite big on the end of the line, he said. Took him about a half hour to reel it in because it was so deep. And when the weird fish got to the surface, he says he almost jumped out of the boat and into the water. Giant eyes, a great big head, little bitty body that doesn't seem to fit. A rat fish. They live in deep water, and apparently they're very, very rarely caught. I've never seen one in my life. Rat fish. Oscar says, you know, it was an ugly fish, but it sure did taste good. I saw the story on Fox News. Boone Pickens was a driving force behind the Park City's Quail Coalition. And this would sure make him happy to see that the coalition pledged a record $1,042,000 to the Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch the other day. The Park City's Quail Banquet is held each spring and is always sold out by November. There'll be an empty chair there next spring.
This is Jim Shockey.
I'm Craig Boddington.
This is Jim Zumbo.
Join me, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weissin, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. I look forward to shaking your hand there this January.
With a who's who lineup on stage to answer your questions, surrounded by more than 1,800 exhibits featuring outdoor apparel and gear, artwork, jewelers, custom guns and knives, the finest licensed guides and DSC-approved outfitters from around the globe, free seminars, and world-class banquets with celebrity guests and speakers, DSC's Convention and Expo, January 9th through the 12th, is a must-see for outdoors men and women. The whole family will love the incredible taxidermy displays, and the auctions are the biggest and best, built specifically for the outdoors enthusiast. The best part, your ticket cost, the auction bid, the money spent at DSC's Convention and Expo will be spent wisely on conservation matters at home and around the globe. Please come to DSC's Convention and Expo at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, January 9th through the 12th. Learn more at biggame.org.
Since 2003, Bended Knee International has answered the call to take the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel to the Navajo Nation and the people of Siberia. Many have never heard the simple but magnificent message that Christ is God, who loves us so much that he died for our sins, defeated death, and rose again. The simple message of salvation brings the gift of eternal life if we'll only believe it. I am Tom Watson, president of Bended Knee International. Learn more about Bended Knee at bendedknee.org.
This is Travis Mears with Defender Outdoors, Clay Sports Ranch, Forest's new premier shotgun range. Located on West Loop 820, we are minutes from anywhere in the West of Plex. Clay Sports Ranch offers two different 12-station sporting clay courses, archery, the largest 5-stand in DFW, and a spacious event pavilion with seating for over 200. Inside the pro shop, we offer a wide variety of hunting and competitive shotguns for sale and rent, along with all the gear and shells that you may need for your next outing. Open to the public or with a membership, a good time with friends, family, or colleagues is easy to find. Find all the details at defenderoutdoors.com, and we look forward to seeing you at the ranch.
From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and North Fork Rivers at North Fork Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay.
Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com.
Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, inviting you and your family to the Crappie Expo presented by Riceland. Hot Springs, Arkansas, October 4 through 6, 2019. The Crappie Expo is for crappie fanatics like you. There will be over 90 crappie fishing manufacturers and dealers selling and showing today's top crappie fishing products in the world. Come see the top 100 pro crappie teams competing in the first $100,000 Mr. Crappie Invitational Crappie Tournament on Lake Hamilton, October 4 through 6 at the Game and Fish Boat Ramp facility on Lake Hamilton. The world's largest crappie fry will be held Saturday, October the 5th, starting at 11 a.m. Bring your family and enjoy the fried crappie, french fried taters, and hush puppies. Free to everyone. Special thanks to Riceland, Express Boats, Berkeley, TTI Blakemore, Arkansas Game and Fish, Mossback Fish Habitat, ACT Crappie Trail, Gill, and Hummingbird.
The 2019 Crappie Expo, presented by Riceland Rice Bran Oil. Fry it up. Crisp, clean, delicious.
Hop in the truck. Half the fun is just getting there. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Seminars with the most knowledgeable hunting and conservation minds, fun with famous faces on stage, and 1,850 booths displaying guns, gear, and awesome adventures around the globe. Heritage, the DSC Convention and Expo, January 9 through 12 in Dallas. BigGame.org.
The quail hunting community and quail conservation community lost a very important supporter just over a week ago. Boone Pickens died at the age of 91. Over the past 10 years, my buddy Pete Delkus and I on various occasions have had time to sit and talk with Boone about his bird dogs and beloved quail.
Well, the Queen was the best dog my dad had, and I picked up after those dogs in the yard, and so and I had as a child I had a Springer named Berta, and Berta was a pretty good dog too. She could find birds, but she wasn't as good as this terrier. But Berta passed about, I imagine, when I was 13 years old. She had gone, and I never took that bird dog hunting with it. My dad didn't want me taking bird dog hunting, and so I hunted with the terrier that this guy had. And then after I moved to Amarillo, that I hooked up with old Walter Kellogg and Oliver Barfield in high school, and we started hunting together. And then Walter and I had dogs together, and he had an elevator out west of town, and so we had them out there. And Walter didn't take care of dogs very well, and I picked up this dog named Princess, and we had a dog named Ann, and so we owned them 50-50, and he couldn't keep Princess in a pen, so we had her with a chain on her, and she's hooked up there, and I didn't like the setup, and so I said, look, let's just, you take Ann, I'll take Princess, which is probably the best bird dog trade I ever made, and Princess was young, she's probably 2 years old. And I took her home and put a top on a pen, and then I found a setter over at Borger named Jack. So I had those two dogs there in the pen. Princess could climb out anything, so I had to have a top on. And those, you know, when I go back, I think of all the dogs I've had, and I've had hundreds of dogs that I've had, and a lot of very good dogs. It must have been that it was just a period in my life where those dogs were very exceptional on any dogs that any other dogs I was ever around. Barfield always had dogs, but those two dogs were much better than Barfield's dog. And then as I went forward, I had somebody said one time, "When did you realize you were rich?" And I said, "I guess it was when I had 24 bird dogs." And that did it for me. I must be rich if I have 24 bird dogs.
That's a lot of food to feed.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a lot to pick up after,
that's
too.
Right. That's right. Now, you trained those dogs yourself.
Well, I was not a good dog trainer. And I just kind of, I make kind of a partnership with a dog. And that's the way Princess. Princess didn't retrieve. And I talked her into doing it. And she retrieved. She retrieved because I liked it. And she wanted to please me. And she was most really a very unusual dog. She never stayed in the house, but old Jack did. Jack stayed with my two boys. He slept with them. And they said, "Dad, I don't understand Jack because he's kind of docile. He just sort of lays around everything till we go hunting." And then we spent a lot of time trying to figure out where Jack is because he was a self-hunter. And so the first time, if you didn't get into birds real quick, he'd leave you, and he'd go on his own at that point. It may be 2 hours before he showed up again. And I remember my youngest son said one time, said, "For a long time, I thought Jack's name was Jack, you son of a bitch," was his name, and found out that it was just Jack.
Quail hunting's been a large part of your life. Why are you passionate about it?
I want everybody to have the same chance I did at it. And so I like to see the Dale Rollins and what he's doing and with the kids. And then I think Dale brings a bunch of kids to our ranch every year for a seminar and all. I've been up there one time, but he knows he's always welcome to come and do whatever he wants to. But I just, my kids, of course, they all, have been in on the deal. And now my grandkids are too. They all are shooters. And a couple of my granddaughters are too. They're pretty good shots. So I want them to have the experience, not unlike skiing. I want them all to get a chance to ski and do some things. I encourage them all to play golf and tennis. I don't encourage football too much, but if they wanted to, I'd be for it. But all I can see on football for the Pickens crowd is, one, you're too small, and two, you're going to end up getting your knees replaced so if you stay in the game. But I never have had a knee operation. I've never had a hip operation, and so I've been very lucky.
Do you feel that hunting is a way of learning about just life lessons, values? Do you feel the things that you've learned as you have gotten older, that your dad helped teach you, and you said some of these things with your grandkids, do you feel that hunting teaches them anything?
Well, no, sure. Any kind of experience, whatever it is, either sports or shooting or whatever else, you're going to learn something there. And sure, I think, they see they naturally around me, they see what I think of the habitat. I'm very keen about the habitat and it's uppermost in my planning on my ranch. And if I ever have cattle on there, which now I've got 500 Angus mother cows, but those are back on the southwest corner of the ranch, and they're not in the prime quail habitat because the quail habitat comes first. They understand that. They ask me questions about it. How do you know this is habitat and that's habitat? This is where the birds are. And so we never want to mess that up. And I've had experiences where I did mess it up too. And I found it was a lot easier to run steers, yearling steers, than it was to run cows. I'm convinced a cow will eat anything a billy goat will, and they'll take it all if you let them stay in there on the habitat. So my kids see all of that, and they're very keen about covey size, because I've always tell them, if we have the water, it can come drain, it can come, you can put it out there. And I got 54 miles of water pipeline on my ranch, and we water every 1,000 feet. Well, I'm convinced, and I got lucky on this one, that those water holes, I knew what that would do for a nesting bird. They would come there and cool down, and if I had them close enough to the nest, they'd take some moisture back to the nest and incubate the eggs, and then my covey size would be about the same during drought periods or during periods of rainfall. And so that's what happened. Our covey size is 12 to 15 every year, regardless of our rainfall, because that water is close. But where I really got lucky on it was that those puddles of water are bugging fields, and those chicks are back into that water. You can see their tracks all around there, and they're in there eating those bugs. And that was a lucky break. But when you're fooling around with water, you'll get lucky, because nothing bad can come from water.
Hi, this is John McGraw with the University of South Alabama Bass Fishing Team. And I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it, with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Occasionally, I'll shoot a small feral hog, anywhere from 70 to 100 pounds. And I shoot them with a specific purpose of tamales and sausages. And then I take them directly to my friend Joe Masacchio at Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing.
Well, basically, you can do everything we do with a deer with a hog. The ribs are always good, and people don't think so. But, we do the taco meat and breakfast sausage, which is the big seller, and then we do these hog stickers, which are like Hawaiian steak on a stick, which is really good. Kids love them. The tamales are really a great hit, and they're really easy to serve. And all the sausages, I mean, the jalapeno cheese and, brats, all that kind of stuff.
Right now, Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing is offering an early bird special. They know when you go fill the feeders and clean the wasp nest out of the deer blind, you're going to see pigs. Shoot three of them. And take them to Joe at Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing, Roanoke, Texas. They'll process the third pig free. Offer good through October 1st. Isn't it time to check that South Dakota pheasant hunt off of your bucket list? Isn't it about time to step back in time to a simpler era when the cackle of a mature rooster is followed by the smell of smoke from your barrel and maybe a chuckle or two from your buddies after that oh-so-close miss? Spring Creek Hunting and Fishing Resort, just north of Pierce, South Dakota, is that place in time where taking good care of our guests is the priority every day, year after year. At Spring Creek, South Dakota, we know that a warm and welcome lakeside cabin with private bath and big screen TV is just what you need after enjoying our 35,000 plus acres of pheasant country. When you come stay with us at Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort, you can expect the best pheasant hunting that South Dakota has to offer, along with the best bed, the best steak, and the best time of your life. Talk to us about private charter jet service, and come see us at springcreeksd.com.
After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife: quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, right. These people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit joshuacreek.com.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me. Heroes who charged in the battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore. Men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
If your hunting blind isn't comfortable enough to keep you in the field all day, you're hunting from the wrong blind and missing a ton of opportunity for success. Does your blind keep the wind and rain on the outside and have drip rails on the windows to keep your view clear? How about friction hinges on the windows? Just lift and let go. Do you have a 360 view of your country without opening a door? Quiet marine-grade carpet and locking aluminum doors? Insulated flooring? These features are all standard on lightweight, tough as a hammer, Dillon hunting blinds. If your terrain calls for a view above the Mesquite Flats or other obstructions, check out Dillon's safe and strong platforms with handrails and porches for the occasional stretch. Dillon blinds are available in sizes that fit your situation to a T, with windows suited for rifle, bow, or both. Lightweight and durable fiberglass blinds from Dillon are at DillonManuf.com. Stay longer, shoot more deer in a Dillon.
Sometimes our office is a bass boat. Tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
While you enjoy a day at the range, we stand on Capitol Hill and firmly say no to those who would rip that right and that gun from you. We are the DSC, and we're at biggame.org.
I always enjoy reading David Rayner's stuff out of the great state of Alabama. His Outdoor Alabama Weekly keeps me up to date with what's going on down in Alabama. And I want to talk to you today, David. Thank you for taking a little time for us about this bait privilege license. Deer hunters in Alabama now going to be able to hunt over bait. It's been a while, David. Good to have you back.
Well, thank you, Billy. Glad to be here. It's always good.
You guys have come up with something down there in Alabama that is familiar to folks that hunt Texas and other places, and that's baiting, corn feeders or other forms of bait to hunt wildlife. But you guys have a little addition to your rule that we don't have here in Texas. But now that you've done it, I bet our folks in Austin will do this too. You have to have a license to hunt over bait now in the state of Alabama. And so bait will be legal. My first question to you, David, is how's the general public embracing this? Do they like the idea? People can be passionate about hunting over feeders and not.
Yeah, you know, we've got mostly positive feedback. You know, there's always a certain element that is going to be dissatisfied with, you know, what they consider an unfair advantage. And, you know, but, you know, some people look at food plots the same way. And so, you know, what we discovered was that the bait privilege license was passed by the legislature. It was not passed by the Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries Division. I mean, it was not a rule that was promulgated. It was legislation. And so basically we have to abide by the legislation and, enforce what they passed, and which was a bait privilege license. And if there's bait in the area, you have to have everybody that's involved has to have a bait privilege license. And, it's $15 for residents, Alabama residents, and $51 for non-residents.
And that's that doesn't mean if you're over 65, you're excluded, or if you're under 16, you're excluded. It's everybody.
It's everybody. There are no exceptions in this legislation, and that includes the people who are hunting on their own land. They don't have to have a hunting license if they're hunting their own land, but if they're using bait on their own land, they have to have a bait privilege license.
What constitutes bait in the state of Alabama? Obviously, corn feeders, but would a salt lick be considered bait? Different scent than attractant?
Yes, exactly. It is, you know, anything that it's, you know, we've had a it's been okay to use plain old salt in Alabama, but if it's a mineral block, anything other than salt, then you got to have the bait privilege license. That includes all the juices and the bags of attractant and just anything that would be considered food. And, you know, the Chuck Sykes, our Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries Division, you know, said that if it's if it's a juice or something that you put out that is considered bait, then that you're gonna have to have a license.
Okay, very good. So for you folks that travel to Alabama, before you make the trip, if you're going to be hunting over a feeder, or if there's a possibility that the field you hunted last year is going to have feed in it of some sort now, an attractant of any kind, you better get that license to hunt over that feeder legally. There are a lot of positives to feeders. I know some people have a negative opinion of them, but it's a great way to get kids out where they're actually going to see deer and get kids started, or first-time hunters. And it also is a great way to manage your does. If you have a management program on your property, it'll help you dwindle those doe numbers a little. The negative side, I'm sure the folks, the biologists, scientists there in Alabama are worried about disease a little bit.
Yeah, you know, that's the reason that as part of the legislation, Chris Blankenship, our conservation commissioner, and Sykes went to the legislature and asked them for the statutory authority to end baiting in any particular area where disease is present, and it's not defined as CWD or chronic wasting disease. It's just defined as disease. So if we have an outbreak and we never know what's going to come down in the future, you know, if a disease is harming our deer herd, then we have the statutory authority to end baiting in those areas.
Okay, very good. And you guys are spreading the word. Hunting season is upon us. I'm not sure when your season starts down there, but it won't be long. And I know you guys are really trying to get the word out to Alabama hunters.
Yeah, that's the main problem is, you know, some of them are really, really clued in, and others don't pay a whole lot of attention because they've done the same thing over and over and over. And, you know, seldom have things changed. And so they're used to doing it one way. And they need to know that if there's bait in the area, you need to have a license. We're kind of looking as I'm looking as an insurance policy. I'm going to get a bait and privilege license because, you know, I don't necessarily hunt on any particular property. I get invitations and go hunting with other people. And, you know, there's sometimes, like you mentioned before, there could be bait there that you had no idea was there. But if you've got that bait privilege license, then you don't have to worry about it anymore. So it's kind of an insurance policy.
You bet. Good insurance policy to have, because somebody puts you in the blind in the dark and you can't see what's out there till the sun comes up. And once it does and that bait is there, it's too late. David, where's this money going to go for these bait licenses? Is it going to go back into your fish and game folks?
Yes, it is. You know, our Department of Conservation is funded through mainly through the sale of fishing and hunting licenses and the 3-to-1 match that we get from the Pippin Robertson and the Sport Fish Restoration Action. So it's really important that, we sell licenses and to be able to fund the agency. And we really don't know how many we're going to sell this year. The commissioner said that he's going to wait and see what happens after this first year to decide, you know, if he's going to direct funds in any particular direction. So we don't know yet.
Okay, very good. Well, at least it's going back to the folks that that keep an eye on our wildlife every day. And that's why I overbuy every year. I get stamps that I'm not going to use and endorsements that I'm not going to use because I know that money is helping my folks here in the state of Texas. We talked about white-tailed deer. David, does this bait license also apply to feral hogs, any other kind of wildlife?
Yes, it's white-tailed deer and feral hogs, and those are the only two that you're allowed to hunt bait over. But, you know, as you're familiar with in Texas, feral hogs are a scourge on the environment, and so, you know, they're spreading all over the state, and so this gives, you know, landowners another tool. They say if you don't trap the whole sounder, you know, you're still got hogs on your place, but at least it keeps the numbers down. And, you know, one of our legislators said that on Easter morning he went out on his front porch and had to take care of a hog that was rooting up his driveway. So, you know, that gives some more ammunition to take care of those hogs.
Yeah, corn feeders have killed a lot of pigs, I promise you. David, always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll be talking to you again maybe a little further down the road to see how this is going when it's in action.
Sounds good, Billy.
David Rayner. You can read him online. Just do a web search for David Rayner and Outdoor Alabama Weekly. Purina Pro Plan. There's a Pro Plan formula specifically built for your dog. And that doesn't mean that your dog with a special condition is out of luck. No, there's a formula for your dog. Even if they have an intolerance to grain or they're older and need added glucosamine. For every life stage and every lifestyle, there is a Purina Pro Plan. And it's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Hey, go to stretch my legs out on the porch for a couple of minutes. But when we come back, Boone Pickens and the story of the pointing mule.
This is Olympic gold medalist Kim Rohde. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Okay, Billy, come on now. You can use another lesson.
Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, inviting you and your family to the Crappie Expo presented by Roslyn. Hot Springs, Arkansas, October 4 through 6, 2019. The Crappie Expo is for crappie fanatics like you. There will be over 90 crappie fishing manufacturers and dealers selling and showing today's top crappie fishing products in the world. Come see the top 100 pro crappie teams competing in the first $100,000 Mr. Crappie Invitational Crappie Tournament on Lake Hamilton, October 4 through 6 at the Game and Fish Boat Ramp facility on Lake Hamilton. The world's largest crappie fry will be held Saturday, October the 5th, starting at 11 a.m. Bring your family and enjoy the fried crappie, french fried taters, and hush puppies. Free to everyone. Special thanks to Roslyn, Express Boats, Berkeley, TTI Blakemore, Arkansas Game and Fish, Mossback Fish Habitat, ACT Crappie Trail, Gill, and Hummingbird.
The 2019 Crappie Expo, presented by Riceland Rice Bran Oil. Fry it up. Crisp, clean, delicious. You've never seen a more complete archery and event center than Cinnamon Creek Ranch. It's world class. There's nothing else like it anywhere.
We offer a chance for archers to come and shoot indoors. We have 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards. You can shoot 40 yards in here. We have a conference room upstairs. We have several companies that come here and do their monthly meetings, business network meetings. We have the facilities for that. We also have a full kitchen. We can cater lunch for you. We do a lot of different team building events for corporate outings. When you're out on the golf course in a corporate outing, you're spending time with three other people for 4.5 hours. We're here, a company comes out and they've got 30 or 40 employees. They're all able to hang out together and just relax and have a good time. It's our job to make sure that that happens.
A fresh new approach to corporate outings. And your kids have never had this much fun at a birthday party. Learn a lot more when you come visit us at CinnamonCreekRanch.com. CinnamonCreekRanch.com. If you visit an outdoor show that features hunting, fishing, and outdoor products, you might just run into my friends Ron and Teresa Miskin with Buffalo Wool Company. When you do, do yourself a huge favor and stop for a visit. When I did, I made a discovery that has greatly impacted my time in the field and on the boat. Ron explained to me that his Buffalo Wool gloves, socks, hats, and accessories are made from the underhair. Beneath the big shaggy guard hair lies a secondary coat. These fibers are what the buffalo depends on to keep him warm. Those fibers make up the socks and gloves at Buffalo Wool Company. Hey, it's been several years, and I truthfully don't know how many pairs of buffalo wool gloves, socks, and hats that I own. I simply know that they are as important to me as my rifle. They're warmer than wool and allow me to stay in the field comfortably, no matter the weather conditions, all day long. Try them for yourself. Buffalo Wool Company offers a 100% money-back guarantee, but you'll keep them. Learn more about these super high-quality products at thebuffalowoolco.com.
The Vineyards Campground and Cabins has time and again been recognized nationally as a safe, clean, fun, and, well, perfect family destination. With all new full hookup 50 amp pedestals, pull through sites, lightning fast Wi-Fi and cable TV at every site, the Vineyards Campground in Grapevine, Texas will become a regular travel stop for you. Bring the whole family and enjoy our beautiful group pavilion, private swim beach and boat ramp, stand-up paddle boards, well-stocked camp store, and the friendliest staff that you'll find as you travel in your RV or bus. We're located on the shore of beautiful Grapevine Lake, and you'd never guess that we're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth. Just outside the gated entry at the Vineyards, enjoy the charm of Main Street with exclusive shopping and delicious dining. Or maybe you'd like to just hang out and enjoy the fireworks over the lake on Friday nights. Don't have an RV? No worries! Come stay at the Vineyards fully furnished cabins. We can't wait to see you, so make your reservation now at vineyardscampground.com. See you soon!
I'm looking at a 12 with a 10-inch drop tine. Y'all go on inside. The whole Dallas Safari Club bunch is in there with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
The Dallas Safari Club meets monthly at chapters across the U.S. If you'd like to attend or start a chapter in your neighborhood, visit biggame.org.
Hey, there are a lot of ways to contact us at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. You can give me a call, 1-877-820-BBKO. 1-877-820-2256. The website where you can always leave a note on the door, leave a picture for the bragging board, is bbkoradio.com. bbkoradio.com. And give us a like on Facebook, Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. That's your ticket to additional entries, extra entries, when we have contests for cool outdoor gear and trips. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors on Facebook. And by the way, I know you enjoy the radio broadcast, but sometimes you're traveling, sometimes you're out of pocket, sometimes you're busy when the show comes on. Just let the folks at Spotify or iTunes, Apple Music, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Podbean, any of the major podcast carriers, let them know that you want a free weekly download of Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, and it'll come right there to your device at no charge. You don't even have to send them a reminder. They'll just automatically send it to you each week. We've been looking back on the bird dog life of Boone Pickens today. Boone Pickens died a little over a week ago at the age of 91. You'd be hard-pressed to find a bigger supporter of quail research on planet Earth, not just with his words, but with his dollars. Time after time after time, his resources went to the very top quail research centers across America. I had an opportunity to sit down with Boone several times over the past decade and talk about bird dogs and quail hunting and such, and we're enjoying those conversations again today.
What does the outdoors do for Boone Pickens? I mean, you're one of the world's busiest men and have been all of your life. You're flying, you're traveling, you're getting tugged on in every direction. When you can get out there on your country with your dogs and just the silence of God's great West Texas, what's that do for you?
Well, an interesting part, it's hard to take your mind off of some deal you're working on. And I get very intense and all, but I can't get my mind only one place where I'm dead. My mind goes dead and I'm having fun, so much fun, I can't get back on it. I've got to stop, slow down, and then go back to thinking what. A golf course won't do it for me. A golf course is way too slow, and I cannot go around a golf course without rethinking some half a dozen things that I'm doing. But hunting quail, of course, ducks know because you're sitting there.
Right.
But quail, totally different. It's I can lose it.
Yeah.
For a day. And I don't, if I'm out there, I don't call in on a cell phone until I go in for lunch.
Right.
and then I do, or when the afternoon's over, I do it. But I can really lose myself in a quail hunt with, and yeah, I always have a lot of shooting, fortunately. Sure. I don't have a lost year.
Not a lot of downtime out of the Mesa Vista.
No, and we always have birds.
Yeah.
Because we protect the habitat. We got all the water.
Yep.
and everything else. And so it's the best quail hunt in the world. Now, somebody says, I can beat you pickings in South Texas. I said, you might beat me. You might beat me on an explosion year down there. Right. I've hunted a lot in South Texas. I know what it's like down in Falfurrias. I've been there 100 times. But they can't do it every year to me. And so you give me five against your five, I'll have 5 years that I've got birds. And you've got two, three. Yeah. And so you have to throw out a couple of years, and that's when I'll pass you. My country's consistent.
Yeah, absolutely it is, and you keep it that way. Well, I've noticed you've got a turkey problem. There's too many. If you need me to come exterminate some of those for you, I will be glad to help you, Mr. Pickens.
Okay, you got a contract for that?
We'll have one on the back of this napkin.
Yeah. Now, one thing is like the woman that was hunting up there last year. She said, I want to kill a turkey. I've never killed a turkey. I said, I want you to. But I said that your limit's four. So I said, you can't sign up unless you kill all four. Right. Well, she said, what if I don't shoot them? What if I can't kill but two? I said, we'll get in a pickup and run them down on the road. But we're going to get you. We'll get you four because I want them out of here. I've got more turkeys than I want.
Well, I can help you with that. Mr. Pickens, thank you so much for your time. It's always just a hoot to sit and talk bird dogs with you. I love it.
Good. I do too, Billy. Anytime.
The first time I ever interviewed Boone in his high-rise offices in Dallas, he was just as warm and cordial, like the fellows I meet in the cafes all across America in small towns. Boone was one of us. His business deals were just a lot bigger than most of ours. I remember he told me, Billy, come on in. I could talk to you about bird dogs all day long. He said, now, there may be a call coming in from Saudi Arabia, and I'm going to have to pause and take that for a few minutes, but don't you run off. I want to talk to you about bird dogs. His beloved Mesa Vista Ranch, which he groomed for decades in the Texas Panhandle, is for sale. Do yourself a favor. Take a tour of this place at bbkoradio.com. We've got a link up there for you to take a look at this incredible oasis in the middle of the parsed Texas Panhandle. Over 100 square miles, representing almost 50 years of Boone Pickens' hard work, improvement, and devotion to the bobwhite quail. Boone said that the Mesa Vista Ranch offered the best quail hunting in the world. And year in and year out, it very well may have. It was built for that by Boone Pickens himself, who had a great sense of humor and loved to tell the story about the mule that would point birds.
Have you ever in your life heard of a pointing mule that might point birds like a bird dog would?
Yeah, I did. I heard about it. A guy, a farmer, had the mule. He had a good friend who was a lawyer in town that done some work for him. He said, lawyer asked him, said, do you have any quail out there on that farm? He said, yeah, I do. I have a nice creek that runs through there. And said, I have a really good habitat. He said, would you like to hunt? And he said, yeah. He said, well, come out and hunt on it, but don't bring any bird dogs. I've got something better than a bird dog. Well, this lawyer didn't know what he was getting into. So he goes out there, comes in the front gate, drove across the creek, bridge, looked beautiful water, came up to the house. He said, you ready to hunt? He said, yeah. Well, he said, let's go. And so he whistled, and this mule trotted up. He said, we're going to ride him? He said, no. He said, he's going to be our bird dog today. And they started down through the pasture. That mule came down on point. He stepped up here and flushed the covey, knocked down a couple of birds. Mule retrieved both of them and went on down, hunted singles, picked up a couple of three singles, found another covey, and moved on about 2 hours. The guy had his limit, and the farmer said, that's it. And he said, gosh, this is the most interesting quail hunt I've ever been on in my life. And he said, I was thinking about something. He said, you're thinking about trying to buy that mule off me. He said, that's exactly. He said, I'd like to buy that mule. He said, he would be a real conversation piece with my hunting friends. He said, I couldn't sell him to you. He said, you saw that creek and the bridge. He said, yeah. He said, yeah, it's a nice creek. You have fish in it? He said, I got a lot of fish in it. And he said, that would be the problem with that mule. He said, he wouldn't go past that bridge. He'd stop. He wouldn't leave. He said, "Why is that?" And he said, "He'd rather fish than hunt."
Boone Pickens will be missed. There he is with his story about the pointing mule. Hey, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together in this old camp house today. I sure want to thank you for dropping by and invite you back again next time around. Come see me at bbkoradio.com. And until we share a cup of coffee again, may God bless you and your bunch.